passing to Davins, and thank you guys for hanging out with us on the break. That band was Rotgut, featuring our own Joe Curry on keyboards, brother Joe Kumia, whose show I'm going to be on tomorrow.
Yep.
On lead guitar.
Yes.
We'll be talking about police, race, and society. And, of course, Joe, I think, healthy enough, will be in studio as well with us.
Absolutely, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, Joe.
And with a gallon of Pepto next to his
Yes, yes.
Pepto, yeah.
So those songs were Rotka Don't, Dick Me, and Monkey's Uncle. The great Rotka. So we're going to solve the world's problems, or at least the race issues, tomorrow.
Yes. On
Joe Kumia's Guilty by Association. Of course, the lead singer for that is the very famous Anthony Kumia of the Anthony Kumia Show, formerly of Opie and Anthony. So that should be fun. I figured in lieu of my appearance on the Joseph Kumia Show tomorrow, I should play a little Rotgut as a tribute. What do you think, Pip?
Yeah, no, it's a good lead-in.
It certainly is. I might request that we play some of these songs in the background as we are discussing.
I think they would go nicely with the rhetoric.
I think it would go nicely with what the chat room will be saying. I think there's a good chance if we play some of those songs, sales for Live at the Apollo will shoot up.
Yes.
Top 40.
I love when you guys call the obvious truth rhetoric.
I didn't say whose side that would be on.
I actually didn't say rhetoric. Did I say rhetoric?
I did.
Say rhetoric.
Oh.
I said it'll go with the rhetoric. It'll be a two-sided conversation, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, enough of that. I just thought, you know, when we've had Anthony on before, we've played some Rotgut. I thought it'd be nice, you know, since I'm going to be going on their show tomorrow, it'd be nice to play some Rotgut. Don't you agree, Joe?
Yes, I most certainly do.
Of course you do. So right now, we're not going to play some Rotgut. We're going to do a little scam busting here. A little scam busters, kids. Remember the last couple shows we were interviewing Julie Power from the Sydney Morning Herald, and she did a large expose on scamming. One of the main components of that interview was the lady we're going to talk to in a few minutes, Tracy Douglas, who is a scam victim, somebody pretending to be a U.S. soldier. She's an Australian citizen. But she has fought back, and it's been a horrible road that she's gone on with a lot of seclusion, a lot of turmoil and everything. But she's fought back. It was just I did an extensive interview with her, so we actually broke it up into four parts. So this is going to be part one. But first, a little scam-busting music, if you will. A little scam-busting music. For some reason, there's always that lead-in in the scam-busting music. And I will talk until there's no reason to talk anymore. Nine seconds.
That's what we're afraid of.
12 seconds. There it is.
Scam Busters! If there's something strange on your Facebook page, who are you gonna call? Scam Busters! If it's something weird and she looks real good, who are you gonna call? Scam Busters! I ain't afraid of no scams. I ain't afraid of no scams. Seen I love you running through your head. Who you gonna call? Scam Busters!
We are here with an African man whose name's James, who's going to tell us a little bit about scam. We are speaking with Tracy Douglas, an Australian lady who was scammed by an African scammer and is now an anti-scam activist and owner of the anti-scam group on Facebook, Military Scammers the Fight Back. Welcome to Davin's Den, Tracy.
Thanks, Devin. Thanks for having me on, Ron.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
On the radio show.
It's our pleasure. We're happy to have you. What was your life like?
Thank you.
What was your life like before you were scammed?
In a very quick nutshell, I was a professional businesswoman, had my own company, very successful within that company, had a multitude of friends, obviously through work and my social life, and extremely fulfilled. Did you? Until I met my scammer.
Did you? Were you actively dating men like in your area?
No, I wasn't actively dating. I didn't feel like a need to be dating at the time. My life was so busy with my commitment to my company and obviously to my teaching. I just didn't feel that I needed to date and wasn't really ready to date after a previous relationship that was failed. So I was quite happy on my own and living life to the fullest. Very financially secure, and my main focus in life was to, I suppose, acquire enough money to set up an orphanage in Vietnam, which was my main goal.
Okay, so
work was on my focus, and also obviously a social life with my work environment and my friends.
So there was you didn't feel a yearning to have male companionship or something. You were just primarily focused on friends, family, and career.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, every woman yearns for a male companion, but at that particular time in my life, I had lots of male friends, but didn't feel the need for an intimate relationship.
Okay.
But after duration of time, and we'll get to that, with looking after my mother, I became extremely lonely and then felt the need for some interaction and possibly a relationship with a man.
When did your scam start?
Approximately end of October, end of October 2012.
Okay, end of October 2012. And at that point in your life, you were starting to feel, because due to circumstances with your family and your mother, that you were starting to feel the need to entertain the possibility of a romantic relationship?
No, not at that particular time, because I'd already been looking after her for 2 years prior to that.
Okay.
So my life was quite full with 24/7 care with her. I had to give up my home, my job, and sadly, I didn't give up my friends, they gave up me.
Well, that happened after the scam. That happened after the scam. Or did your friends give up? Did they give you up because you were...
That happened before my scam. My friends sort of slowly drifted away because I couldn't commit to our normal, usual social functions and, you know, social gatherings. So it was... The point is, I don't bother asking Tracy because she can't make it. But in saying that, we were still in contact, and we'd still have coffee, and they'd still come and visit me, and that sort of thing. But I was completely tied to, you know, care with my mum 24/7. Outside of that, I would have had to have hired a nurse, which was not feasible financially for both of us. So it was easier for me to give up my life and my job and care for her solely, which I do not regret in the slightest because she's my mother and I would do anything for her.
I want everybody to know where you were feeling at this point in your life. So you're starting to take care of your mom. She has her illness, so that is consuming a lot more of your time. You're still in contact with your friends, but it's no longer the same amount of contact, the same activities. It's starting to wane. Are you starting to feel isolated in any way?
Oh, I'm totally isolated now.
Okay.
In the beginning, the contact with my friends, once my mum became very ill, went from, you know, like me meeting them at social gatherings, to just, you know, an odd phone call here and there, a couple of pop-ins for a cup of tea, and, you know, maybe stay 20 minutes. But my social, you know, like normal realm of society just disappeared because I couldn't commit to anything outside of my mum's home, basically, because I couldn't leave her.
Now, when you're in this situation, your friends have, they're still your friends, but you're not talking with them as much. You're primarily focused on your mom. It's a very labor-intensive situation that you're in dealing with your mom. How does your scammer find you?
A friend suggested to me, after I'd become quite lonely after about 2 years, with my friends sort of dropping off. But I joined a dating site in the hope that I would maybe meet someone, you know, in a similar situation, but was maybe, you know, restricted to outgoing events or social events, and primarily, you know, in a situation where they either had children that they had to care for or somebody. So I joined a dating site called Are You Interested, and that's when I met my scammer.
So, now on this dating site, did he approach you?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so you met him
I
on...
saw his...
Go on.
Sorry.
I saw
his profile initially.
Right.
And then I skipped by because I sort of thought, this guy's not going to be interested in a situation that I'm in, due to, you know, my living circumstances and my commitment to my mother. So I skipped by that, but obviously he'd seen that I'd viewed it, because that's what happens on dating sites. And with that, knowing that I'd viewed his profile, he then made contact with me, and that's where it started.
Okay, so but at this point, it sounds like even your self-esteem, even before the scammer, was not where it once was, just due to your situation. It seems like, you know, because of the...
Definitely.
Okay.
I mean, I'd lost my life. My life was, you know, so full. I'd raised my children financially, very secure. They were bought a home when they were born, which was given to them at 21. So they were well on their way to a very successful life without me after they'd left my care at 18. So I suppose my focus then was on my mother because she was so unwell.
Okay.
So yes, in turn, I did feel the effects of loneliness pretty much straight away, but not to the extent that I did after I'd been scammed.
Okay.
Because I still had some regular contact with my colleagues at work. And as I said, occasionally they'd pop in because I couldn't leave her to have a coffee. But, again, I was not invited to, you know, any other social events because I knew I couldn't leave her. And then, even though the contact still remained, you know, like, I suppose, I believe superficially, just a text message here and there, just to sort of say, how are you going, how's your mum? Of course, nothing changed, and my answer was always the same. And then once I became a victim of a scam, I made it public to my friends and family.
I don't want to jump ahead. I want people to understand what the situation is. You know, what type of, you know, the position that you were in emotionally, what's going on with your life when this happens, because it's important. So this guy on the dating site realizes that you've viewed his profile. He makes contact with you. You guys start talking on there and everything. Presumably, you hit it off well. The conversation was good. I mean, at this point, are you thinking, wow? You know, I met a great guy. Did you ever think, you know what, this is almost too good to be true? Did you have any creeping suspicion that this was just too perfect?
No, initially I didn't, because he was actually in awe of the fact that I gave up my life to look after my mother, because he told me that he cherished his parents and wished he had an opportunity to look after them at the point that, you know, that they were sick.
That's an interesting point. I want to stop you there. See, what this scammer did was, he realized where you were in your life, so he took the information that you gave him, and then he crafted a story that would make you seem compatible, like you were the same type of people that he really admired and respected.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, because that's what scammers do, and that's what people need to understand. They are very good at using whatever information you give them and crafting it and using it against the victim. That's very important. People need to understand that. A lot of our audience does, but we always get new listeners, and they just need to grasp that. So you're in the midst of this online relationship. Yeah. So he really respects what you're doing, understands, realizes the time constraints involved, willing to work with you on this. Seems like everything's going great. Did you tell your family at this point about this great guy that you found online?
Yeah, I told my mother because my children had already left home and had moved away and married and moved on with their life, and my mother was my only sort of, I suppose, contact that I could speak to. I did tell a couple of girlfriends, and they just sort of said, oh, that's great. You know, I'm glad you found someone that understands your situation and that can empathize with you and hopefully help you through the transition stage of getting her back to recovery. My children, I didn't bring into it because they were busy in their lives, and I didn't feel a need at that stage to introduce them to a situation which I wasn't 100% sure was going to come to fruition, so I didn't.
If you had,
I did with my mother.
If you had met this man in person, say, instead of an online romance, you met him at the local pub, and this guy seems wonderful, and becomes a part of your life, would you then have introduced your children to him? Or told them?
Not until I felt that it was something very concrete. I never introduced my children to any men in my life, which has been very, very few, until I believe that there's something substantial there to introduce them to, because I've never been one or been an advocate of introducing men into my children's life that may be there for excuse me, for one day or one week, and then, you know, go flip and run, basically.
Right.
It has to be a concrete relationship before I would introduce my children to a particular person.
So at this point, though, the people...
And that comes...
The people who you have introduced, who, not introduced, but told about this relationship, your mom, your friends, they're supportive of this. This sounds... They're happy for you.
Yeah, a couple of them. Well, I only told a couple of my close friends. I didn't tell all of them.
Right.
I have a lot... Well, I had a lot of associates, work associates, and obviously business associates through the company that I developed. Primarily, I felt that it was none of their business. They could see that I was happy and knew that there was a change in me. And I suggested, to them that I had met someone but didn't go into great detail apart from a couple of close girlfriends.
Okay.
And again, they were happy for me, but never questioned, you know.
So there's no red flags.
About where did I meet him?
Nobody in your life is going, well, you know what, it's online, just slow down, be careful. Everybody's like, you know what, we're happy for you, glad you found somebody, it's great you made met this compassionate man. That's pretty much the feedback you're getting.
Yeah, except for one lady, one of my very close girlfriends that doesn't live in Bundaberg where I live, she just said to me, oh, Trace, just be a bit careful. She actually met her husband online. So she said to me, I can't say to you that it doesn't work, but on the same token, I'm just a little bit skeptical because he's in the US and you're in Australia.
Right.
But on his Facebook profile, he was Australian born, with I think his father was US and his mother was Australian or vice versa, so he had dual citizenship.
Okay.
So that sort of, I suppose, smoothed that over to a certain degree. She accepted that there was an opportunity there for a relationship, knowing that his profile was posting that he was returning to New South Wales, where he owned his own home, and also had a home in Florida as well, too, on the time that he was deployed and went back to the U.S. to see his U.S. family.
So this is a scammer. This is a scammer posing as a U.S. soldier.
Yes.
Okay. So
with dual citizenship.
Oh, what a dreamboat! So
yeah, but it's not uncommon for it's not uncommon for military to have dual citizenship and be able to be active in either country that they have citizenship in.
Right. So how long...
That makes sense.
How long are you talking to this this man before he asks you for money?
Approximately 2 to 4 months.
How many months?
Two to three months.
All right, 2 to 3 months. So you're talking to this guy. I'm assuming you're talking to him pretty consistently, as much as your time will allow. He's online for you?
Every day we spoke, yes. Not just online, by phone as well, too.
By phone as well, too. And he said he was deployed.
Yes.
Where did he say he was stationed?
Kabul, Afghanistan.
Okay, so this is a red flag for people who are listening, and, you know, you didn't know at the time either, Tracy, but, you know, if you're really deployed in, say, Kabul, Afghanistan, a military person does not have all day to be online chatting on Yahoo Messenger or Facebook and talking on the phone to the person they love. They just don't have that type of time. They can talk. There's communications available, but to be that much,
yes,
it's just not possible.
I understand that, and I did question him about that, and the times that we did actually speak on the phone were very, very limited, because he said that he was only allowed, you know, like 2 to 3 minutes per phone call. But on his off time, with his own computer, which I believed he had, not being privy to what happens in Afghanistan, then, I'm privy to it now, I believe that when he was off duty, that he had all the time in the world to, you know, speak for as long as he wanted to.
I got to stop you, though. It's interesting. You said you spoke to this man, and some victims do get to speak to their scammer. This man is claiming to be a U.S. Citizen, but born in Australia. I mean, an African accent does not sound American or Australian. Were you able to pick up on this?
He didn't have an African accent. He was educated in the U.S. And he had an American twang, which was very attractive. It was very enticing to me.
Well, do you know what an American twang sounds like? Because I got to stop you right there, Tracy. Because here's the thing about America, where our accents are very regional. So someplace in New York, where this show is, sounds like somebody different who was born in, say, Florida or South Carolina or California and everything.
Ironically, you say that because I've traveled in the U.S. for quite a long period of time a few years ago. And I noticed a difference between the accents, you know, like sort of Los Angeles to Alabama to, you know, like Oklahoma to different places.
Yes, it's very different. It's very different.
He said that he came from Florida. I do speak with people in Florida quite often, and the accent is quite similar to what I heard on the phone.
So was he able to use not that you would know as well, since you're an Australian national, but was he able to use American slang and American terms?
He was able to use both Australian and American, which is part of the reason that I was so fooled. Because as you know, through previous conversations, Australians have our traditional Aussie slang talk, and Americans do too as well.
Right.
And I found that he was quite fluent with both.
Interesting. So this is.
And I suppose that was what made me less suspicious is the fact that, you know, when I would sort of joke about Aussie slang, he picked it up straight away. He wasn't, he never sort of questioned me about it. He just answered with an Aussie slang reply.
So it would seem.
And that was.
It would seem from what you're saying that this scammer was very experienced at doing this, was trained well, or actually did travel extensively in the United States and Australia to be able to pull that off, because you would think an Australian national would be able to pick out at least a fraud when it comes to the Australian slang.
Sorry, darling, can you just give me 2 seconds? I've got a phone call coming in and I can't hear you. I'm just going to reject it. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
Can you repeat that?
So I'm saying from what you're telling us, this scammer was either trained very well by the people who he scams with, or traveled extensively in the United States and Australia, because even the Australian slang, which you would think an Australian national would pick up if it wasn't correct, fooled you.
I do believe from the research that I've done, and I've been researching him for nearly 12 months now,
mm-hmm.
that he's never been to Australia, but he actually studied in the US for quite some time. Clearly he picked up, the US sort of terminology and slang and a few, things that you guys say that sort of sound, reasonable.
Okay.
To believe.
So at this point, just
I believe he's just got on the internet and did it.
Well, at this point, at least to go by what you're saying, the language would not be a red flag. The accent would not be a red flag. The only red flag would be the amount of time, at this point, he is spending online and chatting with you.
All right. We will end part one of our four-part interview with Tracy Douglas right there. Kind of setting the stage. This seems to be a very good scammer. It seems to be better than most. I mean, I would think if I was talking, well, I know I've talked to them, like the scammers. They don't know our slang. They don't know American slang. We haven't encountered one of them yet.
No. The ones that we've encountered seem to have a little bit of trouble understanding the idioms and the slang. And, when you would make jokes.
We've already established my jokes. You can be an American and not understand them.
Or like them.
Yeah.
I was expecting Joe to pipe in there.
I think he just moaned. I don't know what he's doing in that bathroom.
There.
Well, okay.
No, he moaned because he agrees.
Okay.
But
you got to remember, I can't hear it over the phone, the interview over the phone. I have to listen to it on the computer, so I had to move the phone away, so I didn't. I'm a couple of minutes behind you.
Yeah, sorry. So the thing was that the thing that's interesting about him claiming to be both an American and an Australian national is that he was conversant enough with her in both slangs that you would think that she said, I was sort of transcribing what she was saying in the chat for people who were having a tough time with the accent.
With the accent, plus it was kind of trebly, too. Pip, you did a great job. Pip gets a round of applause because she was doing a lot of translation on what was going on.
You know that Australian to American?
It was with the accent and the distortion was kind of tough, and Pip did a great job.
There's a vibration. Thanks. Because the mic for the interview was too close to the speaker.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a...
So it made it a little troubly for people to hear. But one of the things that I wanted to go back
Well, they can
over,
go back and really listen. I mean, you can understand. And I repeated a lot of the questions.
Yes.
Yeah, what she said as well.
Yeah, between listening very carefully and you can, if you're listening to this at another time, you can go into the Davinsten chat for this day and look at what I was typing in if you can't make something
out. If you'd like a written transcript of this show, please send a self-addressed family member and $20. To Pip Helix, eh?
Box 120, Broadway, New York.
Right, pretty much. Pretty much. And we'll send you a free tote bag. But
they're not free. That's an $80 donation. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. I lost my head.
Exactly.
$300, right?
Yeah, I'll send you something from the Horde.
Ugh, we tried that.
I know. Nobody wants to know.
Mom had a great line. It goes, closed captioning for Davinsten, brought to you by Goldberg's Bagels.
Very good, Tom. Yes.
Well, so, if I thought we could get extra money for it.
But one of the things that's pretty impressive, she said that later on she was looking into who he was and what she thought his capabilities were. She was getting a little ahead of herself, but the point is that she was figuring that he might have, he was educated in America, so he had the American slang down for that reason. But to get the Australian slang without having been a national, I mean, that's not always so easy. And she seemed to think that he was just coming right back at her with answers instead of like pausing and thinking about it or screwing it up. So he did his homework.
Yeah, no, he did. Again, I mentioned the red flag is there. You're in Kabul, Afghanistan, and you have this time to chat. But think about this. I mean, she spoke to him on the phone, and she didn't detect an accent.
Yeah.
Or she detected it in, what'd she say, an American accent?
She thought that she had traveled over the United States and that she was well aware of the differences in the regional accents. And he claimed to be Floridian, and he sounded like some people from Florida she had spoken with. I mean, she doesn't know that a lot of Floridians are just transplanted New Yorkers and New Jerseyans.
That's
but
true.
Besides that, if she kept, she mentioned a twang. And if you are really a native Floridian, you would have a bit of a southern twang.
Well, depending what part of the state you live.
Yeah, in the north you would.
No, also the west, the panhandle.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like the very north,
yes,
and the west.
Yeah, northwest you would.
But Lisa says in the chat, there's always something a little off. Yeah, well, that's what we...
Because they're scammers.
Because they're scammers. Yeah, well, that's one of the things that we have learned over the time with studying this. You once you know, you are aware, and you're really eagle-eyed for those red flags in any of these online interactions. But like this woman said, she was pretty much homebound, taking care of her sick mom. She had friends that would come over and visit her, but your friends tend to drop off when it's always has to be visits on your terms. You have to come to my house because I can't leave my mom alone. I can't go to the movies. I can't go to the bar.
We see it time and time again. Scammers can pick on isolated people.
Yeah.
People that are looking for some form of human interaction and companionship.
And that's the perfect target. You know, that's the perfect target, but the perfect situation. I mean, on the person's end, too. I mean, you can't get out. You're taking care of your elderly mother. You need a break. You know, your friends don't want to come over. You know, this person is talking with you and interacting with you. I mean, it's the light, you know, it's the best part of your day, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have this best part of your day, there are these red flags that we've been discussing that you might not notice, or you might put it to the side for the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Exactly. You would, the little things that you, as a seasoned scam bullshit detector, you would pick up
is
on.
Is that a title
things.
Now?
Yeah, it is. I think
I have to told you arise next time I'm on.
Didn't you see it's on your
business card?
No, he's.
Why, if I did, you would just screw it up in graphics anyway.
Oh God, Davin's wearing a T-shirt that says that right now.
Joe, I crossed my eyes for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, and you know what the thing is that. Like Lisa's saying, I was taken, and I'm pretty smart. It's not about intelligence. It's about emotional need.
The first time is about emotional need and naive.
Yes.
First time. Second time you get scammed, you might be stupid.
Yeah, then you might be stupid.
I know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the first time, though.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That emotional need is very strong. That emotional need, you don't look at things in a right way. There's, you know, there's two ways, your rational side and the emotional side. And I can tell you right off the top of my head, there's sometimes when your emotional side is running the train and that's it, you know?
Yeah, no. But, I mean, it didn't seem like it was hot and heavy right away.
Right.
It seemed like it was built up over a little bit of time.
Yeah.
They would talk. The phone conversations were very short.
Yeah, yeah. Two to three minutes he said he had.
I don't know what the point is. I guess just to establish the contact. But this guy has, but you know, I was going to say this guy has to be pretty confident. But you know what? You know, Flory didn't sound like she was Hawaiian.
No, she did not.
And she got on the phone all the time. And Agnes, when she was Agnes before she was Belinda, didn't sound British. But they get on the phone. So it's like they think that we can't tell, and I guess enough victims can't tell, because this isn't unheard of to get on the phone with your scammer.
No,
right.
But...
And they're so, you know, and like I said, people get very... I mean, it's a natural thing. We're human beings, man. It's we get emotionally involved, and stuff like that we don't decipher, or we care not to decipher, you know?
I think we block it out. I think we conveniently look the other way.
Uh-huh, yes. Exactly, yes.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yes, yes. And it wants companionship.
Yes.
Like she even said, you know, it's normal for a woman to want, you know, male companionship in her life. And it's not like she didn't have other people to feel or see the red flags for her, because number one, she had one good friend who had met her own husband online that worked out for her, but she was still a little bit wary.
Which means she probably went through a lot of duds before she found her husband.
Yeah, so she was no dummy just because she had a success story from being online, and that happens a lot of times. But a lot of people these days have, you know, met significant others or gotten married from being being online. It's not like it's not possible, but the but she didn't have, like, at least at first, she didn't have a lot of feedback because, well, for her kids, she didn't go and...
she didn't expose them to what was going on.
No, and she said that she hadn't done in prior dating experiences either, if it was just, she didn't know if this relationship had legs, so she wasn't going to go and have her kids all involved. And it's like, oh, now I'd like you to meet Uncle Frank. Oh, I know, you just, we just lost Uncle Jimmy, and next week it'll be Uncle Paulie, you know, whatever. So she didn't do that. Maybe other, having more eyeballs or ears on the relationship would have helped her pick up some inconsistencies, at least at first, but she didn't have that.
No, and a lot of victims don't.
No.
That's right, really. If you think you may be a victim sometime, you should really listen to this show ahead of time. I can't stress that enough.
This is the prophylactic show so that you won't get scammed.
Yes. Listeners, if you think you have people that might be victims, you should tell them to listen.
Yeah.
Do you have lonely friends?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're the perfect audience for Davinsden. They need lots of lonely people to listen to them.
That's what talk radio is all about. I got to be honest, folks. The lonelier you are, the better it is for me.
And the better we sound.
So I would immediately cut off your friends and family and loved ones and just focus on us. That's my suggestion to you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Why is Truckle Tom?
Truckle? I don't know why Truckle Tom. I like that's cute. It makes him cute and lovable. He's Truckle Tom.
It's late. Now I'm getting tongue.
It's like a combination of trucker and creepy uncle. It's Truckle Tom.
Why is he yelling at me? Really? Uncle Paul, from my example, is Uncle Paul,
I don't know,
a person?
Uncle Paul is a character that Jim Norton plays on show.
Oh, I'm so very sorry. I was thinking about creeps that might date somebody.
I can tell
you
with 100% certainty, Pip Helix has never listened to Jim Norton do that.
I do not know about... Sorry, I don't...
And I could also tell you 100%, I had no idea that was a character.
And I had a creepy Uncle Paul for real, so...
And I have a legitimate non-creepy Uncle Paul. Damn it, Norton, you've ruined Uncle Paul for everybody.
There you go. So... anyway, and now he's yelling at me about Truckle. I can't.
That's your new name, Truckle Tom. Truckle has a trickle. He should go to the dockle. It's Truckle Tom, kid. Remember, put on the tight pants to hide the no-nos.
Funny, he comes out like Truckle Tom. He comes out like a clown. He's got a Peterbilt suit on. You know?
It's Truckle.
Hiya, kid.
He's working rest areas across our fine nation. Honey, it's Truckle Tom!
Honey, come away from the strange man.
He entertains the kids and is the number one suspect in sex offense crimes all across the nation.
Oh,
it's
God.
Truckle Tom!
Oh, no.
Good job, Pip Helix.
Sorry.
The downfall of Truckle Tom. It's Tom Sawyer and Truckle Tom. That was funny. All right. So anyway, but yeah. So that was part one, kind of. And I really wanted to go in depth with her to kind of, once again, we've done it before, but not in a while, paint the scenario that a lot of victims find themselves in, where they just find themselves increasingly isolated, which is, you know, fertile ground. Isolation is fertilizer for scammers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, for all kinds of. Anytime you are in a relationship and you find that the person is trying to keep you in obvious and subtle ways from socializing with others or being with your family or getting feedback from others or encouraging you to keep it your little secret, that's always a red flag.
Well, Truckle Tom uses that last one.
I want to point something out, too. You know, every time we have the stories or interviews like that, one constant is the balls that these scammers have on them. Regardless if it's this young lady you were talking to tonight or, who's the one from Japan?
Ann Jackson. You got no idea how batshit she is. You'll find out in 6 months.
Yeah, or even like when you were going mano a mano with that one scammer. I mean, the one thing that they all have in common is audacity and balls.
Of a thief, because they are.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that was a good introduction to Tracy.
Yeah.
I think we've set the stage, and we'll progress deeper with this, because we haven't gotten to the actual scam yet.
Right.
We've gotten to a budding young relationship between an American/Australian stationed in Kabul, Afghanistan. I feel good about this. I think this one's going to be the one.
Okay.
This is going to be the one that's for reals.
Oh, do you?
I do.
You have hope for these two young kids.
Just two kids in love. What could possibly go wrong?
No, I don't feel any apprehension at all.
No, that light at the end of the tunnel, that's not a train. That's a firefly.
Okay.
It's going to be okay.
How pretty.
Yes. All right, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I will certainly will.
Yes, move along.
Now you asked the question.
I did. All right, let's visit in with Mickey Wynn and Scambaiter Sue.
Nice.
Always and forever.
How much you want to bet Joe has part of that theme song in the bed when I get introduced tomorrow night? Huh, nothing from Joe on that one.
No, you know why? Because I couldn't hear the theme song.
Oh, it was the Flory theme with the bongos in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't get the joke because
I have to keep the computer off not to distort. But
no, you're right. You're right. All right. So we've Mickey Wynn and Sue. It's been a whirlwind relationship. Mickey has talked about either coming to California, or she could buy a nice place for them out there, or maybe Sue goes to Ghana, and they could get an apartment or a hotel there. Very romantic. We've talked about a wet skin, but unfortunately, very often Sue feels ill and repulsed.
Yeah, she's kind of in the same shape often that poor Joe is in tonight.
Yes, not feeling 100%. So we go to June 10th, 2013. Mickey goes, hey, babe. Nobody's there. So June 11th, Sue goes, morning, hon. Hope you're okay. Mickey goes, I miss you. Now, for those who don't know, The Miz is a professional wrestler in the WWE. I'm sure that's what he was going for.
Of course.
Because what The Miz's old catchphrase is, I'm awesome. So I'm assuming Mickey is saying, you know, I'm awesome. I awesomely miss you. I'm sure he just combined.
I'm sure that's how he was going.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because he's really hip to all that kind of American lingo and pop culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yep.
All right. She goes, me too, baby. And then we go to June 12th. I don't know what's... It's very weird. Mickey goes, hey, babe, I miss ya so much. Yeah.
I miss ya, too.
Now, here we have a scammer that doesn't know the slang and the lingo.
No.
Oh, boy, no.
So Sue goes, hey, hon, had my daughter here again, so now going for a shower. Now, we know where this led last time. Mickey goes, hey, babe, write me when you online. So she writes back, hey, hon, how's you? I don't know. Now she's writing like them.
Maybe.
He writes, good, G-U-D. I believe he was going for good. She goes, glad to hear. What have you been doing? He goes, nothing. Just missing you always. She goes, I thought by your post this morning that you'd found someone else.
What?
His Facebook post.
Oh.
Mickey goes, I was thinking about you. Sue goes, oh, really, babe? That's lovely, because I thought you'd forgotten me. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, I haven't. How are you doing now?
How you doing?
He calls to Joey, how you doing? Settle down.
Give me a sandwich.
Settle down. Friends is brand new here. So Sue goes, I've got a kidney infection, so went to see my doctor yesterday.
I'm sorry. That's not funny, but she's always sick.
Laugh at the woman's misery, Pip. No. You're a horrible, despicable human being.
Are you new here?
You are the most racist member of the show. That's true. So Mickey goes, okay, what's going on with you getting sick lately?
Yeah, good.
She goes, I don't know, babe, because I've still got the stomach virus, too. Oh, and an eye infection. Girl's falling apart on us.
Hilarious. I like fake Davin always, oh, I might be drinking again. I might be putting a gun in my eyeball. You know, it's like you always had something. I might have voodoo that I have to do. There was always some crazy shit.
Well, because scammers always have incidents, too.
I know, but here's her thing is, I've always got a bucket near me and some Kleenex.
If she was a garbage pail kid, she'd be sickly Sue.
It's very funny to me.
Well, it's odd because nothing says mount me, sailor, like a kidney infection.
don't forget a pussy eye, Joe. And vomiting. I do root for these two kids, but I think she's got the best prophylactic ever. Failing health.
Your eyes are like two pink gooey pools.
All right, I'm fighting a stomach flu here. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
What's that have to do with your eyes?
Because he's going to puke.
It's just a disgusting thing I need to hear, really?
Keep going.
Shut up.
She goes, I don't know, babe, because I've still got the stomach virus, too. Oh, and an eye infection, like it's an add-on.
Oh, yeah.
They took a lot of blood at the doctor's to do some tests. So Mickey goes, I'm so sorry about that. She goes, it's okay. We'll get the blood results on Friday afternoon. Mickey goes, I asked a friend phone to WhatsApp you, but didn't get it. That's an app so you can communicate.
Oh,
WhatsApp.
Okay. Thank you. Because I also thought he was just going through typo spasms again.
It's like Skype.
Ah, thanks.
He goes, hope you could help me get one because I don't get money to go to a cafe always to talk to you.
So,
the poor girl's dying and has all these medical incidents. But you know what? Listen, if you could just help me get a phone so I could talk to you. I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, you know, it's like once you're done with your kidney infection, oh, and your eyeball, oh, and your stomach thing, once you're done with all of that, send me some money, huh?
It's the second time he's talking about what can you do for me? it reminds me of UPS. What can Brown do for you?
Tom says, so how are you? And she answers, I'm pissing razors. You?
Gee, honey, I can help you get the rust off those razors if you could just buy me some polish.
Tommy's on fire tonight.
I know.
Tommy had a couple weeks off.
Geared up.
Tommy's ready for this. He has a lot of fury over the Lions in Dallas. So.
Oh, he must be sore.
Yes, he was. I tried to talk him off the ledge. So anyway, Sue goes, what was the problem with your friend sending me a message on WhatsApp, hon? Mickey goes, he doesn't want me to use the phone. Why don't you help me get a phone to WhatsApp you, babe? £50 or $50 and I will get one.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
Sue
Joe's mumbling on this breath. Oh, Jesus.
Except he's on the mic and we hear him. Sue goes, I haven't got £50 on because it's so expensive to live here. I only got an iPhone because I upgraded.
Lisa goes, yeah, yeah, it's always about you.
Who?
The guy.
Well, it's because they're scammers.
I know, but it's just like, no, I mean.
Initially it's how are you, and then it becomes, how can I help you?
Yeah, how can you help
me? How can you help me help you?
What have you done for me lately?
Well, I'm trying to get, listen, if you could just get me a phone.
A phone card.
Creepy bastard. Mavis's little brother. So he goes, okay, guess my efforts for me to talk to you ain't worthy to you. I think he meant efforts. Okay, guess my efforts for me to talk to you ain't worthy to you.
Oh.
Like, it's not worth it. Here I am. I'm trying to talk to you. All you have to do is give me money so I can buy a phone. I guess that was worth nothing to you.
Yeah,
little guilt. Little guilt.
A little?
A little guilt.
Yeah.
She goes, well, if that's how you feel, then delete me.
Oh, snap.
She goes, I thought love was love and not about money. Now, this is very... Now, a victim might not do that.
Right.
A victim might go, oh, honey, well, you know, let's calm down, slow it down, maybe we can work this out. But
right.
But Sue's like, you know what, screw you.
Yeah.
You know what, you're not that interesting anyway, and then delete me. I'll call your bluff. And I did that with my scammers, too.
Right.
You call a nice bluff.
Yeah, and the thing is, she's like, you're all about the Benjamins!
So he goes, she goes, I'm sorry. He goes, it's not about money. It's about connection for me to be able to talk to you every day for you not to feel lonely. Are you happy when you don't hear from me? A very nice response by Mickey, by the way.
Yeah.
Completely full of crap.
Oh, of course.
But a very nice response, Mickey Wynn.
Nice. Nice play.
Yeah. This is part of the Belinda Mavis conglomerate that we've come to know and love so much. She goes, no, I'm not happy, but I accept that nothing can always be the way we want. He goes, okay.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
So then we go, so that was June 12th. Now we go to June 16th. He goes, hey, beautiful. She goes, hey, babe, how are you? Mickey goes, I'm doing good, honey. Sue goes, I'm sick again. Got a stomach virus and now a bladder infection. Girl's falling apart on us. Yeah. I don't know how she has the strength to type.
She barely does.
A bladder infection to go with your infected eye and infected kidney. But yeah, this is not a hot image at all.
No, she is not exactly painting the picture very well.
You know what she needs to come down with next?
What?
A nice sexually transmitted disease. Something pussy from down there would be that would be delicious.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
No, how about no? Just yeast.
Well, he might go. Oh, then you can send me some food. But I've actually seen this tactic before where scam baiters will portray being very sick and it gets more and more ghastly, you know, kind of like what Joe's been dealing with, like just gross stuff.
Yeah.
So Mickey goes, oh, why is my babe getting sick? Because she knows you're a scammer, stupid.
Tom says, Jesus Christ, this broad is a human petri dish.
Even the bacteria's like, you know what, enough.
Yeah. I draw the line.
You're going to be dead soon. We can't continue growing in this situation.
Yes. Either he goes or I go.
The bacteria's like, pee you.
Yeah. No, it's talking about the other bacteria.
Well, the other bacteria is Mickey.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Sue goes, I don't know, but I should get the results of my blood test tomorrow. So Mickey goes, okay, please get well. Sue goes, I will see what my doc says tomorrow, but I have medication. He goes, wish I would serve you in bed and bath for you. Wish I was close, my honey.
He's going to meet up with her at Bed Bath & Beyond? What?
She goes. Don't worry. I tried a joke on a rise.
Yes.
A Pauly Shore reference of how, you know, I wish they would have made about the interview. I wish they would have made that movie during the 90s of Pauly Shore. Then would have stopped putting out movies.
Right.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
So, listen, anybody can flop on any stage.
I'm just used to it.
Yes. Nobody flops like you, Pippi. Looks.
Thank you.
Yes. Back to our previously scheduled flop. So Sue goes, I know, babe, but all I've done is sleep and shower. He goes, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Is anyone around who takes care of you? This is kind of interesting to find out how secluded one is, maybe.
Yeah.
She goes, no, I'm on my own, but my daughter came around last week a lot. And that's nice bait. I'm on my own, but my daughter came around. He goes, okay, you need someone to cook you breakfast in bed. She goes, OMG, I haven't had someone make me breakfast in bed for years, LOL. Yeah, because you're probably constantly shitting in it the way you get sick.
You want to go near that bed.
No!
No!
No, there's a bedpan in that bed the way you are. He goes, you need me now, honey. She goes, yes, that would be nice, but I'm sick and look so bad, LOL. He goes, please, allow me to take care of you. She goes, you can't, hun, because you are so far away. He goes, wish I can come to you. She goes, I guess we were just born in different countries, hun. That's a good point.
Yeah, but
he goes,
I bet he has a solution in mind.
He has, yeah, honey. Yeah, honey, that's all
he's
got.
Oh, that's all he's got for now?
Yeah, that's all he's got. Pippi Alex is not impressed with your yeah, honey.
No, yeah, honey. How about yeah, honey, toddle down to Western Union, send me a plane ticket. I'll be right by your side.
Are you suspicious of Master Wynn's intentions?
No.
So skeptical. What has the world done to you?
Love always wins.
So she goes, what have you been doing this weekend, babe? He goes, nothing new, just a bored guy who needs his woman near. She goes, chilling out with friends, I guess, LOL. He goes, nah. She goes, why not, babe, because you must have a lot of friends there. He goes, but I miss and think about you. And she goes, I think about you too, hun, but we can't sit and be sad because we have to stay strong. I like a peppy victim. So different than the way a victim would be in a few months from now when this goes horribly, horribly wrong.
I'm a peppy victim.
He goes, what do you need me to do? Get bent, stupid. I need you to take a fake Davin's gun and blow your brains out. That's what I need you to do. What do you need me to do? Get Mavis and Belinda on the line. You suck at this, Mickey.
Yeah, really. He didn't read their playbook at all.
No. Because what do you need me to do? She goes, I don't know, babe, because I thought you'd found someone else. He goes, I haven't. I want to be with you alone. She goes, good, because I want to be with you too, baby. You are so sweet. He goes, thanks, honey. She goes, What have you eaten today? Which is a question the scammers always. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that.
What is that about?
I don't know. But he goes, nah.
Nah?
She goes, 3 question marks. He goes, no. And you? He goes, she goes, yes, I had cereal for breakfast and ham and cheese rolls this evening. Really?
What? Really? Why are you telling him? He answered your question, what'd you have today, with nah.
They're not writing for a show right now.
No, it's like, how many different people is he talking to?
I probably several.
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, I don't know that. I don't know what, LOL. She goes, I ate late in case I threw up, LOL. Sickly Sue.
Oh, disgusting.
Tom says, I want to be with you too. Hold on, I got to shit again. Now that's hot talk.
I think that's what Joe says to his special friends.
Wait. Say that again slower, Tom. That stuff gets me moist.
I have my own lubricant. this is the most disgusting tactic ever. I need you, and I need...
Oh, excuse me, honey.
I ate... Oh, God, this is repulsive.
I ate light in case I'm going to barf it up.
I thought I'd be talking to you, and the urge to vomit I knew would be upon me.
Yeah, really.
Anybody else wondering why this chick's single?
She's Sickly Sue.
Sickly Sue.
I ate light in case I threw up. LOL. He goes, okay. She goes, why haven't you eaten? I don't know, because I'm nauseous after talking to you.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to eat after this.
Yeah, it's like, look, after a couple of conversations with you, I realize this is not like a chat and snack kind of situation.
No, you're not munching haphazardly as you talk to this chick. But this seems to be Sue's tactic, to be undesirable and repulsive.
So funny.
Yes.
I think I love her.
All right. Just don't love her for too long. She might have to vomit again.
I know. At a distance,
yes,
I bet.
Yes, love her from a distance. Love her from afar. Because sometimes you're just born in different countries.
Yes.
So Mickey goes, hope you get well. She goes, me too. I think I will go get a drink. Be right back. He goes, okay. She goes, I got a glass of black currant juice, LOL. I don't know why that's funny.
No,
what is that?
Black currant juice.
Black currant juice?
Yeah, turn on Fox News. I'm sure they'll have something about it.
Alright.
He goes, okay. So we go to June 19th. Hi, babe. How are you doing? She goes, hello, stranger. Ha ha ha. I'm okay. Trying to get over this virus. Hope you're okay. Just once. Lie to me, bitch. Just tell me you're okay.
Trucker Tom says, Sickly Sue or the twin card, Petrie Pamela.
They're twins. Oh. Vomiting Veronica.
Nice. Puking Patty.
Shitting Shirley.
What?
Shitting Shirley.
Diarrhea Diane.
Oh, wow. Oh, the show has jumped the toilet. She goes, I'm okay trying to get over this virus. Hope you're okay. He goes, I miss you so much. Really? How could you? Sickly Sue is Debbie Downer. This girl has not been hot to trot in conversations now. We're going over days. Really? Why would you miss this conversation?
I wouldn't even write them. I'm like, ugh.
I would send some toilet paper and call it a day.
Yeah, really.
She goes, I thought you'd found someone else, hun. Missed you too. June 20th. You always say that. You thought I found someone. She goes, I know, and that's because of what you post, hun. When you say things like you should be jealous if a woman is chatting to other men, it worries me. He goes, I said it because of you. I get jealous when you talk to other men. I'd be thrilled if this chick talked to other women.
Yeah, please. Please, talk to a male nurse, quickly.
Talk to a doctor. What is wrong with you? So Sickly Sue continues, I chat to other men, but only friends, and most of the people I chat to are women, hun. He goes, okay. He goes, I miss you, honey. Can't you see that? She goes, but, hon, sometimes it feels like you want someone else, and I'm so much older. And that was where we left.
And I'm so much older and decrepit and sickly.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, put this chick in a home. If you're Mickey Wynn, you need to get this money quickly and get the F out. out.
She's on her way out.
Oh, my God. And stop going to the doctor. That's my inheritance. You don't need medication. Have some more of your black currant juice, lady.
I know. Well, actually, but the chat is easy for me to say.
Sure.
The chat has decided that it's black currant juice and vodka because vodka fixes everything.
Oh, could be.
Well, actually, that was Joe that said vodka fixes everything. But everybody else launched in on that and said, yep.
So that's what. So I, you know what? I'm really enjoying Sue's sickly character. That it's just repulsive.
It's I really like her tactic.
Let's be honest. When you have somebody who you're married to, have been dating a long time, and they're this sick, you really don't want to hang out with them.
No.
You do it because you've invested time and probably bought them things.
Yes.
But in this situation, you're cutting bait. I have not seen enough in these conversations to want me to stick around with this person.
No, you know. My husband loves me, but when I'm really sick, he's happy that I prefer to sleep on the couch.
Sure.
It's like, get those germs away from me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just don't come into bed, sleep on the couch, or I'll sleep on the couch. I don't want to be with him.
No.
Well, maybe Mickey wins better than your loved ones. Maybe he's just more of a gentleman than Mr. Helix.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And although I am 10 times more repulsive than Sickly Sue here when I'm really good and sick.
I've seen you.
It's not.
I don't know, though. She's got infected kidneys, an infected eye, an infected bladder. She's constantly in the loo.
She has an interesting list, but there have been a couple times where it was like, okay, I got the trifecta here.
Sickly Sue needs some anal leakage.
Oh!
And a pussy puss.
You get to step in the right direction.
What?
I think it's a step in the right direction with all the other ailments.
I think she's working her way down her body.
Really?
I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I did once have the flu and pink eye at the same time. I was so totally repulsive. I didn't want anyone near me. I felt like Ebola woman. It was terrible.
That's why we call you Quasimodo.
I ring the bell.
Well, we will pick up with Mickey and Sue in a few weeks. Next week we'll revisit our favorite nutball, Ann Jackson.
Will she live that long?
Sickly Sue?
Yeah.
We'll just have to find out.
Okay.
We know she's got one very concerned Ghanaian. Yeah. So I hope she holds on for their love.
Good stuff.
So we'll come back. Yeah, it was good stuff tonight from Sickly Sue.
Yeah.
But next week we'll do some Ann Jackson, always a Joe Curry favorite.
Yes.
Joe likes that dingbat. And you guys got no idea what I'm dealing with now with
her. Yes, she is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so we'll do a part two of the interview. We'll get more into the scam and everything. But we should probably thank some folks for making this happen.
Yes.
Family martial arts is great for learning karate and self-defense. Perfect together as a family or by yourself. Whether you want to learn in a class environment or you want private lessons, family martial arts is the dojo for you. Give them a call to learn more, 845-469-1716, 845-469-1716, or check them out at familymartialartsgoshen.com. If you're in the mood for great Italian food, then you need to go to Francesco's in Woodland Park, New Jersey. Chef owner Frank Giancarelli cooks authentic Italian cuisine made with the freshest ingredients and panache that'll make Francesco's your place to go with friends and family. The restaurant has a Mediterranean decor done in a non-pretentious way. It feels cozy and intimate, yet it's still elegant. Francesco's even has a private party room where you can host family get-togethers and corporate functions. Francesco's features off-site catering as well. Stop by Francesco's for lunch or dinner at 568 McBride Avenue in Woodland Park, New Jersey, or give them a call at 973-925-1100. You can even go to their website at francescos-restaurant.com, and of course, don't forget to ask them about their next comedy show. Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli of Chester, New York brings the fresh, delicious water bagel of New York City to Orange County, New York. Every morning, a wide variety of bagels are made fresh on premises for your enjoyment. If you've ever had a Goldberg's bagel, then you can never have a frozen bagel again. Goldberg's has the perfect schmear for your bagel, as they feature an extensive variety of cream cheese spreads and even offer low-fat choices. Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli also offers premium meats for their mouth-watering sandwiches. They offer some unique daily specials like the Zombie, which is a potato pancake covered in fresh brisket and smothered in homemade gravy, or the Bronx Bomber, which is a square knish, corned beef, Russian dressing, and sauerkraut. Whether you want breakfast, lunch, or dinner, Goldberg's can feed your craving. Goldberg's Famous Bagel and Kosher Style Deli is great for when you want to eat out, order in, or have that special event party catered. Goldberg's delivers every time. They're open at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. on the weekends. Visit them at 69 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York. Or give them a call, 845-469-8505. 845-469-8505. And don't forget, as always, if you're a veteran of the military or a fan of this show, you get 10% off. Just got to let them know. Side-splitting Productions, if you need a performer, a comedian, a Santa Claus that doesn't smell like horse crap.
Yes, please.
Murder Mystery or Kids Entertainment, go to sidesplittingproductions.com, sidesplittingproductions.com, or call us at 551-404-3094, 551-404-3094. Tomorrow, Joe and myself will be making an appearance on the Joseph Cumia Show, Guilty by Association. It'll be complete video, so we're doing that. We're using that media again. So.
Yeah, scary.
You know, I've been on TV. I think I can handle a Ustream.
Yeah, no.
But TV doesn't have a chat room with horrible people in it.
I know. Oh, dear.
So this came about because Joe posted a video on his Facebook page that, and he made a comment that was factually inaccurate. And so I commented on that. And then Joseph Cumia weighed in on that, who's one of Joe's close friends. And needless to say, Joseph Cumia and myself were of a different opinion. Then,
of course.
Some of Joe's less literate friends chimed in with their name calling and whatnot, which I really did not address because I don't do that. So Joe Cumia Facebooked me. We are now Facebook friends and everything. We were talking back and forth, saying our points in a completely respectful way.
Yeah.
Disagreeing with each other, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you can disagree respectfully.
Absolutely. Had a good dialogue and everything.
Good.
So the Joseph Cumia Show's executive producer wanted me to venture to, I guess, Compound Light, if you will. And go in studio. Joe's going to be there. So it's kind of like Combs. When it was Hannity and Combs, there was like a whole network versus the one and a very weak Democrat at that. So I'll be going in. I think we're going to be talking police, policing, legalities, racism. I'm sure we'll be talking about our African-American friends.
Wow.
I'm sure that'll come up.
We're also going to point out that you pointed out the inaccuracy of the video, but what I did was I made a statement about the video, regardless if it was inaccurate or not. It was accurate in the fact that there is a problem in that community.
I just like the fact, regardless if it's inaccurate or not. I just love that disclaimer.
Because I did admit to it, and you carry on like it was a thing. It was.
I'm not debating this with you now. There's a whole show for this tomorrow.
I understand that, and everybody listen in because we're going to straighten Davin out.
Oh boy.
Well, if anybody's ever listened to our debates, you know how those usually go.
Yeah,
so
I win.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
The majority of the people feel that way. And just look at the post.
Just look at your Facebook page of people that text the C word on New Year's Eve. those are Joe's constituents. Yeah, so if you have the urge to text the C word on New Year's Eve, you'll probably agree with Mr. Curry.
I think you'll be seeing some of that word in the chat tomorrow.
I'm sure I will. I won't be checking the chat, but I'm sure it'll be directed at me. But you know what? Back in the day when we used to do the shows with Anthony at the compound, Anthony and I would have very spirited, but very respectful and articulate debates.
Yes.
Between Anthony and myself. Joe was there too. But
but
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that I will be able to have that same type of discussion with Joe Cumia. That is my hope. And, you know, when we were at the compound, usually they would devolve into, like, some stupid jokes, and we'd all say something inappropriate and have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
So I am hopeful that that will be the vein of it. But you can always see by listening to Joe. Here's the interesting thing. His thing is, I have to change his mind. You have to see the right side, because I'm right. You can already hear that. Joe always said, because I'm right. And that's really not my approach to things. So you can already see what I'm walking into.
I see two opponents bouncing up and down in, like, silk trousers waiting to get at each other tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know that's not how I operate.
No, but but verbally. Ding!
Well, yeah, and Joe will be in the corner collecting Joe Cumia's spit. egging Joe Cumia. If it goes the way the compound was. Now, Joe Curry, you know, after more of a year or two of radio, might take the lead.
And surprise you.
He might.
There's enough meat and potatoes in there to straighten you out, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Yes, Joe. We've heard some of your musical creations and the straightening out, and we've seen some of your friends. Yes, we know exactly what I'm dealing with. I'm sure I won't be straightened out at all. But as long as I get it right. So yeah, so check out the Joseph Cumia, josephcumia.com, 8 p.m. Wednesday. Check it out. It's going to be fun. Me versus Joe Curry versus Joseph Cumia versus the executive producer Joe. It's like a tale of three Joes. It's quite maddening. It's absurd, really. It's like all the parents on Long Island said, well, this name will work. So, we'll have that.
Trucker Tom thinks it'll be Balboa versus Creed 3.
I wonder if Trucker Tom will be listening. Now, I know where Trucker Tom weighs in on this thing.
Yeah.
I generally find Trucker Tom to be fairly rational on occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you know.
Fairly rational
no,
on occasion.
No, but I mean...
Wow, boy, it was... I think I got smacked by the backhanded compliment there,
too.
We're
going to talk about tomorrow. Where is rational with common sense? I love this whole rational force. It's displeasing.
I know, Joe. For you, and we'll get into this tomorrow, for you, posting erroneous clips is perfectly acceptable.
That's the whole thing. It's a whole liberal tactic to take the original thing, which I admitted it was a post, and then redirect it. And the whole liberal thing is you just stay on the one thing and refuse to move on to the next thing. We'll discuss this tomorrow.
What do you think? Well, I'm just curious what you think. Hold on, stupid.
You refuse to acknowledge anything.
What do you think my one thing is? I'm just curious what you think my one thing is. I told Joe Kumi.
The thing is I made that post on the thing. It turned out it wasn't the guy. You said, well, you have to retract it. I go, I'm not going to retract it, and I'm not going to pull it down. I will admit that I guess it was not the guy, but we're going to have a whole discussion on black crime in the black community, and where the whole liberal media is saying it's racism, and it is not racism. It is not. It's not looking at the problem. And anytime anybody points out that there's a problem in the black community, you're labeled a racist. You're labeled not progressive thought, and it's destroying this country. And liberals and Al Sharpton, all ethnic people like you, because they got you right under their skin.
So as I surmised, Pip Helix, Joe Curry has no idea what my thing is. Has absolutely no idea what my position is.
I think it'll be interesting for you guys just to try to understand each other's platform.
My point
to you was, and I'll tell this to our fans, my point to you, and I really didn't want to get into that whole conversation, because quite frankly it bores me at this point, but whatever. My point to you is, this show says question everything. This show stands for the truth. That's what this show does, and it was the second...
Step down in front of the American flag right now, Patton. Let me straighten you
out. Hold on!
All right, what it is also is honesty and calling something, which I did. And I not only sat there and said, all right, it was an erroneous thing. However, let's discuss the issue.
But that was my issue with you, and then Joe Kumi chimed in. And a couple of weeks ago, I let it go when you posted a ridiculous meme that had Obama commented on that. But why didn't he comment on the two...
it's true, damn it. Don't you look at the fucking facts that are right in front of your face?
Pip Helix, did President Obama immediately comment after the NYPD two policemen were murdered?
I think he did.
He immediately...
He made a small comment, but he didn't have a press conference like he did when these thugs got shot, and he held court with Al Sharpton, who's a tax dodger and is a crook and a thief, and the company he holds court with. Why can't you see this? Look, we're going to discuss this tomorrow. It's going to be a whole good show.
All I'm saying is, why can't you do research before you post something? I don't care what you think about race.
I work during the day. I don't get this.
I work during the day, and if somebody's going to post something blindly on the internet, God damn it, I'm going to do the same, okay?
But you know what? It was the information that was given. Hell, half the news channels did that.
Nobody, even Fox News, didn't post that video.
Do the retraction. Keep the damn thing up there and turn the subject around. You're talking about honesty on our show? That's honesty, okay? A man enough to make a mistake on an accuracy, and take that inaccuracy and make dialogue on it, and not sit there where you're still harping on it. We'll discuss this tomorrow.
I'm not honestly, I told you, this whole conversation, it bores me. I'm really not interested in it, but I'm going to go and do it.
Well, thank you for coming out and joining us tomorrow.
Well, no, because you think my stance is something it's completely not, and I told Joe Cumia I'm going to have a better conversation with Joe Cumia. Yeah, I told Joe Cumia what my stance is, and I think we're going to have a conversation about police and process.
Mm-hmm.
That's my stance.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, they'll be. I think you're getting a flavor of how this is going to go.
Well, I hope
and you have to tune in.
You
got to
remember,
o'clock.
Though, I'm not hosting this show,
right.
So I'm hoping Joseph Cumia. I've never been on a show. I have very high hopes for him that he's going to be a great moderator and all sides can be heard.
Yep.
And all sides get a chance. That is my hope. So I am confident that this will happen. I know I'm in the minority in this particular platform, but that doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, just remember to stop and actually listen to each other and don't do the yelling over each other thing, and it should go better.
It should.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should. I have high hopes. It'll be good. I'm happy to have been invited into that platform. I'm happy I won't be looking at the chat room.
He knows.
It's not the chat room you got to worry about. It's fucking Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
What? Does Joseph Cumia show have a thing on Reddit, too?
Yeah, the Reddit don't like a damn thing. There was one time I was hanging out by Ann's show, and I mentioned, I go, thank God nobody ever says anything about me on Reddit. And Anthony goes, really? Take a look.
No, I know
the Anthony Cumia show has threads on Reddit.
Yeah, there were some things when Joe first started his show, there were some things on Reddit, and Joe, and you got to understand something. Joe, this is, you know, it's a new platform for Joe. Joe is one of the most incredible musicians on around. Unbelievable. He's always been the boss, always been, you know, the man in charge and stuff like that. So when Joe is starting to get some of the feedback, and it's feedback that we got when we're at the compound and stuff like that, you know.
People are animals.
Yeah, and he, you know, for guys that get their balls busted and stuff like that, you know, we're kind of used to it. Joe is like kind of like bummed a little bit, you know? It's like, you're getting used to it, don't worry. And yeah. Joe's telling me people are starting to come around and going, the show's better, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, people don't generally chant, you suck during a guitar solo.
No, I mean, you know, and Joe's always been like a, you know, when Joe's main thing is music, and Joe is one of the most phenomenal musicians you'll ever meet, so he's like the high echelon cream of the crop musicians on the island and stuff like that. So he's used, you know, he's used to perfection and used to, you know, nailing it, make sure everything is good. And also, he's a taskmaster. Now, you're a bit of one yourself, so you're used to, you know, things being a certain way, things going, you know, you want things a certain way and stuff like that, and executing it.
Well, I'm sure if Brother Joe and I can get together, we'll both be able to straighten you out and make you work more efficiently for both the band and us.
I think that's probably what's going to happen.
I'm very hopeful of that. So that's really why I'm paying these tolls.
Yes, sir, to both of you. So.
Take it easy on Joe. He's just getting over something.
It's going to be 5 minutes of race talk and 55 minutes on how we can fix stupid.
Oh, God. You know what? No.
It was like tough crowd when Voss was on.
Be careful with him. We don't want him coming back with a kidney infection and pink eye, too.
Yeah, right.
Listen, he's already got the runs. I let it slide once.
You had to say slide and runs in the same
place. I got
to
be honest, though. He's sick. I really don't want to see him tomorrow. I don't want to catch what he's got.
Sit far away.
How big is the studio, you think?
Well, I know.
It's all right, son.
It's still a studio, Joe. It's not like I could be in another zip code.
All right, pretend to be better, all right? You know, don't worry.
Pretend to be Japanese and wear a face mask.
Yeah, right.
Then we'll start talking about the Asians.
Yeah.
Talk kung fu on kung fu crime. Yeah. All right, Joe, where are you going to be this week?
All right, Thursday, January 8th, I'll be at Governor's. Go to govs.com for tickets and availability. Also, I will be down at my home club down in Jersey, Uncle Vinny's, 520 Arnold Avenue, Friday at 9 and Saturday at 9, 1-877 Uncle Vin for reservations and information.
There you have it. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Make sure you check out the show, the Joseph Cumia show tomorrow. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us live or listening on replay. Next week, will we be in the basement? Back in the den? Who knows?
Well, we'll see. It's us against the black mold.
But
who's going to win?
If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening. See you next Tuesday.